sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani.
Ahmed, Ahmed Sabit, Ahmed Sabit, Ahmed Sabit, urafiki ni kitu muhimu sana. Sasa mimi hapa na kuimba kidogo, rafiki Ahmed Sabit. Unajua mapenzi ile iko kwangu pia nataka ikue kwako, namna tumezoeleana na wewe. Sasa tulipoteana baada ya miaka mbili, tumekutana tena. Kwa hivyo Ahmed Sabit, nafurahi sana kuona tena. Babu use
Ahmed Sabit o mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tomeseni. Ahmed sabiteo mwana mobali oyo tolingani.
Think about me, Eleanor, when the dawn is on the misty sky. Like white sheets over London streets as the morning meets your angel eye. Turning to watch you wave, Eleanor, I knew there was nothing to save anymore. But when you walk through your memory, I'd like to think that you look for me. I wish I could be sure, Eleanor. I have thought about you, Eleanor, when we drank that sweet red wine. Speaking low as the songs would flow from a radio that only worked sometimes. One thing I just couldn't stand to ignore is that you knew what to do with your hands, Eleanor. I'm just hoping that now and then your thoughts go back to those nights again. That's all I'm asking for, Eleanor. Do you ever think about me, Eleanor, rolling out on a silver jet? The good, good times that we left behind stay on my mind, I won't forget. And if you ever dream of me, I just hope that you're glad that we opened up those special doors, Eleanor.
يوم كنا عند باب المتوسط كنت في وسط دائرة الصراخ أشد الشراع إلى شطان متماثلة رمالها متحركة كتيار يشد على نفسه ويتراخى على نفسه ويعد يعد دقائق الصمت على مهله على مهله We'll be right back. تحت رداء العجوز وأنا تحت رداء العجوز التي تعطيني ما يخنقني ببطء من روائح مراحيض الأزمنة المضاربة
game. We're still with the flashlight at the Eiffel Tower. Darkness about ya. Bring a torch, man. Yes, boogie selection. Nice and easy. Bringing a drink into the daddy Jimmy Crow. As I'm going to start boogie as the operator.
Happy. I pray no name mention, but you know.
Just in it,
but you Special request to the man called Tony from Night Mode. And also to the other Tony from the dance.
Come in, also plenty of them in here. You can see one,
two, one in the far corner.
Sun went down and the jungle fire was burning. Down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the big rock candy mountains. In the big rock candy mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day on the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the big rock candy mountains. In the big rock candy mountains, all the cops have wooden legs and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the big rock candy mountains. In the big rock candy mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and a whiskey too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the big rock candy mountains. In the big rock candy mountains, the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work in the big rock candy mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the big rock candy mountains.
important? More than important, brother. This is the beginning, not the end.
I was with you. And we were places that we'd never been before. And we were just running. You know? Like through a green forest. Just laughing and dancing. And then the trees turned into a million people. And we just kept laughing and dancing and telling them how much we loved each other. What'd you say?
To the twilight. felt that one.
Yes. Mm. That was a forever momentary space. That was a momentary space.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope y'all don't cut the cicadas out. That ending, ooh, they sounded good. How it sound, Alex?
Thank you.
listening to an audio zine produced by the X Worker.
For more free audio zines and regular episodes of our podcasts, check us out at crimethink.com.
The X Worker. For everyone who dreams of a life off the clock.
Make ready. Safeguarding our movements against repression. How to respond to Donald Trump's threats. Released on September 18th, 2025. In a post on Truth Social yesterday, Donald Trump declared that he is designating Antifa as a major terrorist organization. What does that mean? How can we prepare to weather the storm? Everyone should read this guide. It's always difficult to tell how seriously to take Trump's performative declarations. He makes wild statements to see what plays to his audience, throwing things against the wall to see what sticks, and then doubles down wherever there is no pushback. But this time around, his administration has stuck very close to the classic fascist playbook, with one supporter going so far as to declare, without any irony, that the shooting of Charlie Kirk is the American Reichstag fire. The obvious next step in that playbook is to expand from targeting immigrants to go after anarchists, leftists, and other opponents of the regime as well. Yes, Trump has previously declared that he would designate Antifa a terrorist organization, most famously at the outset of the George Floyd revolt. But at that time, the rest of the federal government largely acted as a brake on his impulses, whereas today, the entire executive branch of the federal government is comprised of toadies and sycophants who are incapable of distinguishing their interests from his. Granted, there is no law authorizing the president to designate domestic terrorist organizations. But even without new legislation or an executive order, Trump has direct control over the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and other federal agencies. What he says on social media is probably indicative of what he will direct his underlings to do. The fact that Antifa is not an organization at all, but rather a nebulous category that could include virtually anyone who disapproves of Trump's autocratic agenda, is convenient for Trump. This means that, regardless of who you are and what you do, you, too, could become a target. That's why everyone should review the following suggestions, whether or not you think they apply to you. Rather than spreading panic, preparing ourselves in concrete ways will enable us to approach this situation calmly and effectively. While no domestic terror organization designation currently exists, and nor does any obvious mechanism to establish one, far-right prosecutors already have a track record of groundlessly pressing trumped-up terrorism charges as a means of terrorizing activists and supporters of social movements. Trump has explicitly called for the use of racketeering charges to suppress his critics. Far-right Republican senators are already sponsoring a bill that would add rioting to the list of offenses that the Justice Department can use as part of a probe under the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations, RICO, Act. There are obvious precedents for how this might go. 2 years ago, a wide range of defendants in Atlanta, Georgia, were randomly charged under the RICO Act as part of the repression of the Stop Cop City movement. The cases have been endlessly delayed, and earlier this month, a judge dismissed most of the charges on a technicality. Under Donald Trump, many federal agencies are disorganized and focused chiefly on managing perceptions. This precisely describes the authorities who brought the haphazard RICO charges in Georgia 2 years ago. If the trajectory of the Stop Cop City RICO case offers any indication of how other RICO persecutions of accused activists might go, the chief threat may not be that the crackdown Trump is calling for will send people to prison, but rather that the charges will discourage and immobilize people, creating the conditions for the Trump administration to eventually supersede this form of repression with something worse. It remains to be seen how seriously the administration will carry out Trump's threats, and whether they will start by attacking grassroots groups or proceed from the top down, targeting massive liberal institutions and fundraising platforms. In either case, our long-term prospects will depend on whether we can establish large numbers of people to act in solidarity with each other, taking up the kind of grassroots direct action tactics that can be effective regardless of whether the people who control the state wish to listen. Here are some steps you can take to protect yourself and your community, proceeding from the immediate to the general. Don't be intimidated. Keeping your morale up is essential to resistance. Do not surrender in advance. Our adversaries aim to cow us into submission because they know that they cannot subdue us by brute force alone. Remember, managing perceptions is core to the fascist project. They seek to project strength at all times precisely because they are not invincible. Even when things seem grim, keep your hopes up and keep fighting. Defeatism only serves the enemy. Several recent examples show that a determined movement can beat repression. On January 20th, 2017, only a few hours into Trump's first presidency, hundreds of people were arrested in proximity to his inauguration. They were charged with 8 identical felonies apiece, 2 of which were not even on the books as legitimate charges, and threatened with decades in prison. The defendants could have reacted by taking plea deals or going it alone in the court system. Instead, in an astonishing display of solidarity, nearly 200 people committed to fighting the charges together. And after a stressful year and a half, they beat every single one of the charges. The Stop Cop City RICO case has foundered thus far for similar reasons. RICO and conspiracy cases often hinge on whether some of the defendants can be frightened into cooperating with the prosecution. If the defendants form a united front and their communities stand resolutely beside them, the chief advantages of the state evaporate. Solidarity is power. Make the most of your strengths. Donald Trump and the institutions he presides over are hierarchical, centralized, formally structured, and profit-driven. They would prefer to fight a symmetrical adversary. By contrast, the movements that challenge them are largely decentralized and horizontal, without formal roles or funding. This is a good thing, not only because it undermines prosecutors' concocted narratives, but also because it makes it more difficult to figure out who to target in the first place. If they have to focus on the population at large, if resistance could come from any direction, they won't be able to concentrate their forces. The autocrats are not in a position to repress everyone who opposes fascism. Remember, on June 14, 2025, the day of the No Kings demonstration, well over 5 million people flooded the streets to defy Trump. Safety will not come from hiding from the authorities, permitting them to go after their targets one at a time, but rather from spreading resistance tactics, strategies, and momentum as widely as possible. Everyone who is against fascism is an anti-fascist. In seeking to target everyone who opposes fascism, Trump is biting off more than he can chew, provided we don't roll over and let him win. Prepare for federal visits and raids. Review what to do in the event of a visit from police or federal agents, whether they are simply making inquiries, show up with a subpoena, or execute a no-knock raid. Back up your electronics and store the backup somewhere secure that cannot be easily connected to you. Remove items from your house that should not fall into the wrong hands. Get legal representation in place ahead of time, so you know what lawyers you will work with. If you learn of someone else's house being raided, show up and take video footage. The more attention is focused on every state assault, the safer everyone will be. Instruct your friends in advance as to how they can support you in the event of a raid or arrest, whether that means feeding your cat, providing childcare, or reaching out to your employer or family members. Make your preferences known in advance. For example, if you are arrested, would you prefer to be bailed out immediately or to wait to see if your bail is reduced? The more precisely you can specify your desires in advance, the better. In a worst-case scenario, you don't want rival factions of your support committee to be wrangling over what you would prefer without any way of resolving the question. Be transparent about repression. If you are the target of repression, talk openly about it. They want to isolate you and make you paranoid. If you're already on their radar, you gain nothing from trying to hide that they are targeting you. Don't draw any connections for them that are not already clear for all to see. Don't make yourself unnecessarily easy for them to find. But double down on your public connections. If federal agents visit you or subpoena you, the best way to get the support you need and maintain the trust of your community is to refuse to cooperate, document everything about the encounters, and publicize it so that everyone knows what is going on. Redundancy means resilience. If you play a role in a project or community effort, however formal or informal, make sure others know how to do what you do. That goes for you as an individual and for any groups you participate in as a whole. Spread your skills and knowledge far and wide. Copy the key to the bookstore. Share the login to the social media account with someone you trust. Help people to found another food distribution or legal aid project like your own. Making it easy for others to replace you can diminish the incentive to target you. Likewise, make information about how to counter repression as widely available as possible. Hold regular educational events in your community about security culture and distribute materials about it. Educate people about how to respond if agents pressure them to become informants or subpoena them to a grand jury. The more people know these things, the better, as federal agents sometimes begin by exerting pressure on those they perceive to be on the periphery of social movements. Coordinate to support each other. Reach out to others in a similar situation. For example, if you run a radical bookshop or student group, you could create a network of similar projects so that all of you can move into action as soon as one of you is targeted for repression. Brainstorm about what forms of leverage you can employ to maximize the cost of targeting you and to ensure that any assaults on you mobilize people rather than intimidating them. Prepare a contact list and a list of responses tailored to different scenarios. Give copies of these documents to comrades you can rely on to support you in the event of repression, so that as soon as something happens, everyone will hear about it and know what to do. For example, if we are arrested and not immediately released, such and such group will hold a press conference the next day, such and such person will conduct an online publicity campaign, and such other person will arrange a fundraising campaign. Discredit the police and courts. While Donald Trump and his henchmen have sought to bend the legal system to their will and sidestepped it outright wherever that was not possible, this involves some drawbacks as it diminishes the perceived legitimacy of institutions that they nonetheless rely on. Promisingly, multiple grand juries have refused to indict defendants charged by prosecutors serving Donald Trump. We should popularize the tactic of jury nullification as a means by which ordinary jurors can throw a wrench in the gears of federal repression. Wherever possible, we should erode public faith in the institutions that Trump will use for his crackdowns.